a wonderful happy Sabbath to everyone during this season of Sukkot, of the seventh month, the last of the high holy days of the year. And grateful to be here this Sabbath day, grateful for all the wonderful reading that stimulated them, that edified our hearts, our minds towards faith, towards judgment. There was a lot about today, read about judgment, and in the Psalms, and again about faith. So we thank Elohim for that. Thank you for the reading from Clement. Wonderful, wonderful. I remember reading that. Please read that over so you can meditate on that, dear brethren. What Brother Richard read, maybe if you need the reference, he could give it to you, because it talks a lot about how we have the problems that we do, problems, physical problems in our generations, and even demon possession, how to overcome lust and what we need to do. There's a lot in there in almost every sentence. It's not, the teachings of Peter are not fluffy, so to say. They're very tight. There's so much teaching in almost every sentence, covering many different things. So we thank Elohim for everything that's being done. May he guide us continually as we go into the book of Acts right now. We will continue with the book of Acts, chapter 3, beginning with verse 11. At the beginning of chapter 3, from verse 1 through 10, we saw how Peter, that's Kepha, and John, Yochanan, were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. And last Sabbath, I inadvertently said that the hour of prayer, which was the ninth hour, was about 9 a.m. I was not thinking too clearly. And as I said, as I was prompted by a brother to clarify that, was that no, that's about what we call 3, but technically at that time would be like around 5. But again, the ninth hour would be technically 3 hours just before sunset. So that's where that could get a little confusing. So being that was the springtime when Messiah was going, it would have been about maybe 5-ish, more like 5, but it depends what time this is. So let's move. So it was around 3, between 3 and 5 when they were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. And we saw how we need to incorporate that in our lives between 3 and 5 before sunset. No exact time. It's like 3 hours before sunset, we need to stop to pray. And the wonderful thing is when we do that, we will all be somewhat in sync with each other praying. And so they were going to the beautiful gate at the temple, and they saw a beggar who was lame all his life, begging bread. And Peter and John, in a unified spirit, by the unity of the Spirit, said to him, "Look on us." And they said to him, "Silver and gold I have not, but in the name of Messiah, of Yeshua, of the anointed Savior of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And immediately Peter grabbed him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately that lame man's ankles were strengthened, and he was leaping in joy, and people were just praising Elohim, and everyone recognized that this was this man that was begging all for so many years at the temple. And it says in that last verse of chapter 10, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. They were wondering how it happened, but they're not wondering how something small happened. They were wondering how something enormous, how something incredible happened. So they were filled with amazement at what happened to him. So now continuing verse 11, I'll read up to verse 26, but I don't know if we'll get through all of that, but we'll hopefully we will. So we'll continue with chapter 3, verses 11 to 26. So while he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. Verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety we have made him walk. The Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob, the Elohim of our fathers, glorified his servant, the Savior, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom Elohim raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, for whom you see and know. And the faith is through the Savior. And the faith that is through the Savior, Yahushua, depending on the language, depending on the accent, has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. Verse 17, and now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what Elohim foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Sovereign, and that he may send the Messiah appointed for you, Yeshua, the Savior, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which Elohim spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Verse 22, Moses said, the Eternal Elohim will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul that does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim those days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that Elohim made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 26. And Elohim, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Amen. So let's go back and make a little bit and see what we can find to meditate on. All of it, of course, but we'll see what we'll meditate on today. So, verse 11, while he clung to Peter, that is the man that was lame all his life, that Peter and Yochanan were instruments of the Spirit to make whole, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. So because of this act, was it by words? No, not because of words, but by the action of the Spirit, because they saw this miracle. This is what it was meant by when it says, and Yeshua spoke with authority. Now they see authority. Anyone can say good words, and we recognize the good words, but that doesn't mean that person has any authority. But when the Spirit of Elohim works through that person, then that set authority is recognized and understood and respected. Because anyone can speak good words, right? But it doesn't mean they can really tell you what you ought to do in a present situation. Only one who has the Spirit of Elohim can really provide that type of guidance. So, verse 12, and when Peter saw it, so what did Peter do? So Peter saw that, and he addressed the people. Why are you looking at it? He's telling them, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us? It's not us, people. It's not our power. It's not how righteous. It's not any goodness, any virtue that made this man walk. And then so he gives that honest, you know how many people like to get the honor for themselves? Honor that doesn't belong to them. There's nothing wrong, necessarily speaking of something that you really did, but these men were sincere, honest men. They did not take credit and have no desire to take credit for it, but actually want to give all the praise to Elohim. And so we must make ourselves fit vessels for the Spirit to work through us, in at any level that we're suitable for, because the Spirit will work with us if we have that, if we want, if we surrender ourselves and purify ourselves. He will work with us and cause and do things through us that will be evident to all that it was done by this Spirit. There's so many ways he can do that. It could be a word of knowledge. It could be something like someone was down and nothing, in other words, feeling depressed, whatever, sad or confused, and nothing anyone has said, nothing that individual has read has helped, but then Elohim has allowed you to cross that person's path, and then because of your love for Elohim and love for people, the Spirit of Elohim gives you just what that person needed to hear and turn them around. Or it could even be something as great as this, depending on our faith. We could bring healing to someone. But all the glory must go to Elohim, and we must, and it begins, that faith comes by knowing we can't do anything. It's we can't, like, they'll show in the movies, like they'll show someone that's supposed to have power, just like focus, I'm gonna focus my power. I remember hearing this person say, I was ready to, I was concentrating, and I was about to call fire. I just bowed my head in embarrassment when I heard this minister saying that. I'm gonna call fire from heaven, as if it's something we can do. Elijah couldn't do that. He was Elijah's just prayed, and Elohim sent the fire. But this preacher was speaking as if he had the ability to somehow harness the power of heaven, and this is foolishness. We need to the first one of the first principal steps to faith is understanding beyond our natural given abilities, our human mind, our human strength. We have no ability to do anything. We can't levitate. We can't make it rain. We can't do any of that. But Elohim can. Ah, yes, Elohim can. And all we need to do is understand, hey, we can ask him. We'll ask him and he'll do it. And that's, and so it's not by our own power or piety we have made him walk. So verse 13 is interesting, because he could have said the El or the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, of Jacob, and our fathers, but he didn't do that. Instead, he said it's the Elohim of, he kept repeating Elohim for each of the patriarch's name. The Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob, the Elohim of our fathers. He made sure they understood that this was no other Elohim he's talking about. He made sure that they understood that the Elohim of Abraham was the Elohim of Isaac, was the Elohim of Jacob, was the Elohim of our fathers. Because some people had that in confusion, as some of the teachings, especially later on, even after the apostles, some people divided Elohim into these many things. They even divided the Messiah into all sorts of, this is Gnosticism, I think, if I'm pronouncing it right. Brother Richard could say a little bit more about that, but he. These people like had some of them had all sorts of wrong ideas about Messiah. Some people had have these ideas about that there's a spirit and the spirit is female. And today there are people within the community of believers that are misunderstanding these things, where they think somehow because the word for Ruach is a could be in the is in feminine terms that the spirit of Elohim is female. And they don't understand. These are just linguistic arts. These are just linguistic techniques, for lack of better words. For instance, like I responded to one person, oh, the spirit is female. I said, but no, it's just the word is in a female tense, but the object of the word, which is the spirit of Elohim, is not female. And I told them, for example, the word for fathers in Hebrew is avot. Many times in the scriptures, it's avot. Avot is a feminine form of the word fathers. But how masculine can you get? Right? So we need to guard the teachings and be and understand what's going on around us. Let's stay focused, brethren, because the truth is being polluted. Let's focus on defending the truth. Let's not get sidetracked with fleshy things about genealogies and things of that nature. It's not that they're not important. It's just that we need to prioritize our teachings. We need to prioritize by looking at what's going on around us. There's lots of false teachings going on, creeping into the faith and under the guise of not serene. And you know, this is why I don't get caught up in words. Because when you people get caught up in words, they get caught up. Their pride gets involved. Their flesh gets involved. Oh, I'm not a Christian. I'm a Nazarene. Oh, I'm not a Christian. I'm Messianic. I'm a Ebionite. And then from there, their flesh reigns. Oh, I'm gonna have more than one wife. Or I'm gonna carry a gun now. I'm a Nazarene. And they run with things that they don't even understand. So brethren, let's focus. Those of us that are teaching be aware of what's going on. Okay, we should not remember, we don't focus on laying down again the same foundations, but keeping the foundation. See where people are attacking, see where people are confused, and bring light into the things that really matter. So the disciples understood that, and they said, no, this is the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob, the Elohim of our fathers, glorified his servant Yeshua, the Savior, whom you delivered over, denied in the presence of Pilate. So the Spirit is moving them to bring their conscience raw, where it's not seared, but where their conscience is pricked and being awakening made bare and touched. He's not holding back, because this is about their salvation. We need to understand, as our brother Richard covered a little bit in his reading about that fire. And one day we look forward to speaking. That's important for us to know, because we've heard there's a lot of false teachings on all angles among the Protestants and among the Messianics, because of Protestant teaching, as well as because of ancient rabbinic control over the scriptures, where they expunge or exclude scriptures that talk about the lake of fire, the fire, the judgment, in a clear way. And so what people are left with in the Old Testament is barely hardly any information about that fire. And so they draw the wrong conclusions and think things are a lot easier than it is. No, things are very hard concerning the fire. And we need to be aware of that. It's not what you think. It's not like, oh, the dead know nothing in that context. We have to make sure we understand the dead know nothing in the entire light of the scriptures. Then you will see it's a frightening thing, even before the day of judgment. But that's another topic. So he pricked their hearts. Why? Because he wanted to for them to be saved. They wanted to be saved. and you kill the author. Who did they kill? They kill the holy and righteous one. Who is that? Who is the holy and righteous one? Where do you get that? And as for a murderer, you kill the author of life. Who is that? Whom Elohim raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. So, certain terminology that's being used there, you may not find it in the regular script, in the Old Testament as we have it controlled and handed down by the Masoretes. But when you have the full scriptures, when you have the book of Ezra, when you understand all of this, was part of the prophets. Enoch, first Enoch. I'm not talking about the others that came, some people who wanted to create confusion created other versions of the book of Enoch to create confusion. But in the Dead Sea Scrolls, there was found one. And that's the one we're talking about, and why, and we do so boldly because that's the one Jude quoted from, that's the one Peter preached from. I'm saying this so you can understand this, the scriptures. We must, when it says all scriptures, I keep saying this, we must make sure we understand and not rely on so-called scholars, because the scholars are not from Elohim, I'm telling you. The ones that are from Elohim are the servants of Elohim, are the prophets of Elohim, are the repentant ones from Elohim, are the surrendered ones from Elohim, are the ones who are living their lives virtuously. They are the servants of Elohim. It's not how much knowledge they have, but how much grace they receive from Elohim to discern truth, while the scholars will be all confused because the scholars are just looking at documents. Those who know Elohim, and Elohim gives them the discernment to understand scripture, to easily, I dare say, recognize scripture. Why? Because we know him, not just from text. We know him. He speaks to us in our dreams. We know him because he answers our prayers. And we know he answers our prayers because we pray in silent. In silence about things. We've been taught to do that. Some prayers we pray openly because they're the praises of Elohim and no demon can influence that. But we know sometimes we pray in silent about things we're not certain about, because there the adversaries are not permitted to read our minds and our hearts and cannot answer the prayers and deceive us if we're praying for the wrong thing. So we know to pray in silence sometimes. And so because we know it's Elohim that answers those prayers, because we're praying in silence, the demons cannot read our hearts and our minds. They cannot. He does not allow that. Elohim does not allow that. So let's move along a little bit. So, and you kill the author of life, whom Elohim raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. Some people want to call themselves witnesses today. May we pray for the group that call themselves witnesses, the Jehovah's Witnesses. Let's pray for them. We of the congregation of it, we condemn no one. That's not what the congregation of Elohim is about. That's not what Yeshua is about. That's not what Elohim is about. It's about praying for people, whether they're individuals or groups, or large groups, small. We pray for them that they would come to the truth. No one who hasn't seen Yeshua can be his witness. No one. Okay? We can testify about things that he has done for his life, but no one. It's the apostles. The first apostles who were witnesses of him. That's why when they needed to choose the replacement, they said it had to be someone who was with us from the time of John's baptisms to the time that the master ascended. Because they had to have been there, seen him, seen everything about him, so they could be witnesses and be true testifiers of these things. So let me stop at verse 16. So it says, and his name, look at how it's stated, and his name, by faith, then the writers and the Peter says, by faith in his name has this man has made this man strong. Let me read that. And verse 60, and his name, pause, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through the Savior, Yehoshua, has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. Okay, I'll touch on this. We'll touch this on this next Sabbath a little bit more. So, by faith in his name. First, he says, in his name. Then by faith in his name. So, in his name. The name is not just the sound. I know I keep saying this, but it's so important that we get this. Because I see people going back and forth trying to say, oh, this is how it's pronounced. That's not what it's about. Elohim is not concerned about that. Elohim is more concerned that if you speak Hebrew, yes, and you know his name, pronounce his name in Hebrew correctly. If you speak Aramaic, and you know Aramaic, be respectful and say his name in Aramaic correctly. If you speak Arabic, and you know his name, that means you know the meaning of his name, you say it in your language respectfully. If you know his name in English, or in French, Spanish, whatever language you speak, say the name, say it respectfully. Know what it means. If you don't know what it means, it's like a tinkling cymbal. What's the point of saying a word in Hebrew properly and not know what it means? I used to encourage the congregation years ago when we used to meet in person. People would read these from the Siddur. Week Sabbath after Sabbath, they'll repeat the song like Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, and they'll go through this whole thing. Then the spirit in my heart says, I wonder, do these people know what even they're saying? And one day I asked them, what did you just say? I don't know. That's not good. What's the point of saying that? And you just wasted minutes of Sabbath time saying something you don't even understand. We need to make sure we understand. So that's why Peter said, and his name. The name is more than a sound, brethren. It's talking about the whole being, your authority. Yeshua, as one of our brothers said, was not a shmo. He's just a shmo. That's a term used among present day Jewish people. It means he's a no name. What does that mean? It means a nobody. So when they say in scriptures in the name, they're saying the authority, dear brethren. We've got to understand that. So in his name, by faith in his name, by faith in who this the authority of this person. He's not a no name. He's not a nobody. He is the author of life. He is the holy and righteous one. He's not a no name. He is that hidden one. He is the one who is of old, before all things were created. He's the beginning, through whom all things were made. That's who we're talking about. That's who this Yeshua is, this Yehoshua is. I stop here, dear brethren, so we could have some time for the book of Revelations. All right, brethren, so thank you. I'll give you like 2 minutes, I'm sorry. So we could cover a little bit on the book of Revelations. We'll take a 2-minute break, and we'll continue with the book of Revelations. Thank you.